each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome again, Tuesday, the first day of September. Feels like the first day of August. But it's the weather report for the day, so we're not going to complain because this will be short-lived.
Yes.
Like for a week. Uh-huh. Aren't they saying it's maybe for a week, for a full week of this, right? Is that what you hear?
Yeah, I heard a week.
Yeah. So anyway.
And then it's going to drop 20 degrees.
No.
It actually is nice. It's not humid. It's heat. This is the heat
You like this.
It is humid, Tony.
Not really. When you're outside, it's not as humid as it's been.
Yeah, because inside it feels like it doesn't. We get these thick walls and
everything is wet.
I felt it was heavy when I came out of the house.
Oh, yeah.
It was heavy when I came out.
Anyway,
maybe it got lighter.
So be it. It shall be. This shall be. There's nothing we can do about it.
No.
And it's not really that bad, you know. We're going to enjoy it while it lasts, okay? Exactly. We're just going to enjoy it.
You'll be crying when it's cold.
Exactly. Well, as Sister was telling us yesterday about the minus 45 degree
Siberian
winters. And I suppose winter is a year-round thing there, maybe, huh? I don't know. No, I doubt it, so. Anyway, interesting. How are you guys, Tony, Geraldine, Christina,
good.
Nick?
Everybody's
doing fine?
Yeah.
We're doing good.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah, okay. Good. Well, keep busy.
Keeps us out of trouble, I guess.
I feel like I don't want to start, you know. I was reading this morning, very, very interesting, and if you get a chance, you might want to tune in. So the Pope is going to be in the United States in Philadelphia. Oh, he'll be in Washington, Philadelphia, New York City, on September the 19th. So that would be in less than 3 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as a preparation for the visit, he did an ABC News special. It's very, really interesting, very, very interesting. I was reading about it this morning. And because evidently on ABC, they aired some of it last night, but it'll be, did you hear about
this? I saw it.
Did you see it? How was it?
It was good.
Was it nice? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was, what a surprise to the students,
I
right?
I know.
Because, let me set it up.
And the one sang and everything.
Yeah, do you want to set this up? Do you want to tell the story?
No.
Go ahead.
No.
Do you know anything about it? I mean, you saw it, but do you know what the, do you realize that they didn't know?
It was a surprise to them.
It was a surprise, yeah. So that there are two schools in the United States. This was a virtual audience is what it was. So the Pope was speaking to them from the Vatican, and they were able to ask him questions. So it was live in that sense. It wasn't live on TV. That was recording, but this is what happened. Did it happen yesterday? Was it yesterday that it took place?
I got the impression that it was, but I don't know.
That's the impression I had as well. So anyway, what happened was, this is in preparation for the visit of the Holy Father to the United States. So the students knew that they were they were taken to the auditorium. So it was in two schools. One school was Crystal Ray Jesuit High School here in Chicago, and Andrew went to that school.
That's right.
And the other school was a high school in on the border near the U.S. Mexican border. That was a Catholic parish. That was a Catholic parish, and of course, this was a Catholic high school. And so this happened simultaneously, is that right? So you had the Pope, this virtual audience, was the Pope was speaking to and listening to and answering the questions of the students. So the students at they had no idea. They were taken to the auditorium, and when the screen opened, all of a sudden there was a virtual audience live with Pope Francis.
Wow!
So they were. I guess you saw it, Jerry. You saw the extra. So how was it? Talk a little bit about it. What happened?
It was good. The thing that impressed me the most was when the girl sang for him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, she just felt completely free to do that.
Yeah.
And the kids were all excited about being part of this.
Well, did they show the... So you saw extras from... I didn't see
That's
anything.
That's all I saw.
Just read about, yeah. That's all you saw.
Because I am not modern like the rest of you people where you go into the whole thing.
No. Well, I mean, you saw what everybody
what
saw.
What happened?
Well, I saw what was on.
You didn't turn it off. You watched.
No. I watched.
So it was just an excerpt.
Yes,
it was
that's
an excerpt.
All it
so
was.
The full airing will be this Friday. So make it a point to see it.
I will do that
On ABC. And but it was in the article that I was reading here, they mentioned the girl, and she was crying as well. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's very moving, right? So her name was Valeria Herrera. She was a senior, 17 years old, and she has a rare skin condition.
Oh, really?
That's what as she describes here. And because of that, and because she felt ostracized, she began to turn to music for comfort. And she was evidently sharing this with the Pope, and he said in English he would like her to, he'd like to hear her song.
Mm-hmm.
And she hesitated because they didn't know. There was no forewarning, no preparation.
Surprise.
And he told her, be courageous. You know, she was very nervous. He said, just be courageous and sing a song. And she said, I was so nervous. And she says, we were talking and I started crying because of the nerves. And then she said, she remembered a song that she learned, By You Mary. I guess in Spanish, that would because I'm a. Did she sing in Spanish? Because just the title of the song seems to me it's a translation from the Spanish. By You Mary. She heard that she remembered this from the choir in her church years ago. Oh, she sang it in Spanish, that would have been a different. A tu lado María, algo así.
A tu lado María.
A tu lado María. To you, by your side, Mary. Mm-hmm. And he smiled and he thanked her, you know, for singing the song. There was also a girl, a sophomore, asked. So the Pope addressed the family issues, and she was describing a single mother who immigrated with her daughter. Evidently, Rafael Diaz was the daughter, and the mother, a single mother, brought her to the United States in search for a better life for her child. And the Pope, he said, you always to fight and to remind participants that God is always near, even in the most desperate of situations. So they had a series of... this should be very interesting,
mm-hmm.
because they had no idea.
No.
Mm. The one guy, one of the students said that he thought it was a joke. He said the audience had no idea that it was Pope Francis until his image was beamed onto special screens set up for the conversation.
Mm.
And Michael Frutos, that's a senior at Cristo Rey, he said he didn't believe what he was seeing. He thought it was this is a joke, this is a prank, you know.
Uh-huh.
And but no, it was
real.
It was the Holy Father. I thought that was very interesting.
Yes,
very interesting. I'd like to see that. I don't have television. I guess could you? So this is how
the phone?
Unsavvy I am when it comes to computers. Can you actually download the television to live television to the computer? Never even tried it.
Sometimes it goes. Sometimes it goes automatically, or sometimes
it works, huh?
You can see something that was on TV. They later on put it online.
Yeah. So there's
ways of seeing it if you don't have a TV.
But just you can't make your computer into a TV. I can't, wave a wand and perform this magic.
Try that.
That's how savvy I am to
computers. Oh, I'm less savvy.
I know.
You know that.
I know.
Well, I'm not that savvy either, so don't feel bad,
Jerry. I'm not that savvy.
Anyway.
Nobody's savvy.
Nick.
Nick knows. Nick knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
So can you do that? You don't know. No, I don't think you can do that.
No.
Otherwise, there'd be no need for televisions, right?
But see, sometimes, like
eventually,
I said,
there won't be any new television.
It's going to happen. But sometimes it goes right online later on afterwards.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes it's not complete. Sometimes it's just highlights.
Right. Well, that I know, you know. I'm not, that I know, Tony. I mean, sorry. I know that. You know, so there's, you can, if you want to see a segment of the news or something, you know, you might, I'm thinking of the, well, whatever. Well, like last week, for instance, the very tragic killing of the two journalists, or the journalist and the cameraman, you were able to get some of the news clippings or some of the what was aired on the news, you know. So that, but to actually download a television wouldn't make sense because you wouldn't need any television. So your television would be your computer, you know. So, and eventually that's probably the way it's going to be. So they keep saying that cable TV is on its way out. I don't know why that is. I never.
Because it's expensive.
Is that the reason why? So why would you want? So what would replace the cable television?
There's other. I don't know if it's cable. I don't know if they're apps or what they're called, but they're cheaper.
So it's kind of like with the radio, I guess. You got the satellite radio now and all that. So with cable, it's something similar.
And you don't pay as much.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, some of it is even free. Well.
Yeah.
You don't pay.
Yeah. No, when I go home, I mean, they get the family's got the cable television.
I think with cable, you have to buy the packages,
right?
All the stations or whatever. But there's ways streaming.
There's
you
ways,
can just get different what you want.
What you want, and it's not as expensive.
I think I prefer the old good old days when you only had channel.
We
only
2, 5, 7, and 9, 11.
Exactly.
That's for me.
Well, that's more than we had. We only had 3.
Oh,
wait, 3?
3.
Wow.
When I was a kid, I don't remember being. That's
we were in the big city here.
4 and 7. I think 2. No, 4, 7, and 11.
For
I think
seven.
We started out 4 and 7. And 4, this is when we were living in Florida. The family's down there, but we were stationed down there before. And then we moved. I don't remember what we had in Delaware. But I know we had 4 and 7. And 4 came in kind of rough because it was from Alabama.
Oh.
It seems to me it was. It seems to me it was coming from another city far away, like Alabama, from the panhandle of Florida to Alabama. And then eventually Panama City had 2 stations, 7 and 11.
Wow.
And still, I think to this day, only 2, but again, you've got, but you know, that's all you had.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you had. So made life much easier.
Oh, yes.
Much easier. So anyway. There's another news item out today. The Pope calls on all priests to absolve repentant procurers of abortion. I think there's a little confusion here, you know, when people, it's amazing how the media seems to kind of confuse things. Or maybe the Pope, as we were talking yesterday, I was speaking about the Pope, he can create certain confusion. But this should be no confusion. It's just, the fact is, in calling for priests to forgive, because what it is, let me just try to put it in perspective. The abortion is automatic excommunication from the church, and it was the bishop who would forgive. You know, in the sacrament of reconciliation, you'd seek forgiveness from the bishop. Now, many of the bishops have extended that to the priests. So, you know, we've had that privilege for, in fact, when I heard this, I thought, well, do we have this privilege? Because certainly I've used it myself.
Sure.
But yes, I think it might predate Bernadine. I'm not sure, Cardinal Bernadine. But in any case, that's not the case all over the world in all the dioceses of the world.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it was the bishop alone. Mm-hmm. Unless he gave the privilege, gave the faculties to other priests. So the Pope is extending the faculty to everybody, to all the priests, even the priest of the, it's a group of priests, Pope Pius XII, the priest of the fraternity of Pope Pius XII, because right now they're not in full communion with the church, and these are... certainly, the Vatican is working to bring them in full communion. This is a group that separated themselves from the church in our own lifetime. You know, I know a couple of priests that are in the religious order, and in that the sisters that come, that do the French baking and all that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They're of that that order or that society. But in any case, I just want to read you the. But so this is all in preparation for the Mercy Year. This is a Jubilee Year, and the Pope. The point is, you know, that people understand that the church's primary mission is one of mercy, reconciliation. Now, that's not in any way, and the one news item that I read this morning from Associated Press, I think it was, but it almost made you, it almost appeared as if the Pope was, you know, absolving everyone from abortion. Does that make sense? That, you know, in other words, it's almost like, well, it's okay, but that's not at all what it is.
No.
Absolutely not. The point is that if you've had an abortion, it's a call. It's a crying out to those who agonize over the injustice that they did to themselves and to the child, and it's a call to, it's a cry or a call to extend it to the to women, and not only women but anybody who participated in an abortion, even those who perform abortions, if they are repentant and come away from this atrocity. Now, in the case of the women, there are many women. Is he? Well, let me just read what he wrote in his letter. He says, one of the serious problems of our time is clearly the changed relationship with respect to life. A widespread and insensitive mentality has led to the loss of the proper personal and social sensitivity to welcome new life. So already he's acknowledging the fact that there's, the fact that we're even having these discussions, you know, that it just, years ago that wouldn't be the case. You just knew that this was a grave, a very grave, very mortal sin. So there's this, I say this often to people who come for confession. I thank them for their sensitivity, that they have a sensitivity to God and to the things of God, all things sacred, and a sensitivity to sin. That's what brings them to the confessional. Because there has to be, we have to be repentant, we have to be remorseful, there has to be contrition, there has to be a sorrow for the sin that was committed, and the decision not to commit this sin, you know, again, to, as Jesus says to the woman who was caught in adultery, he said, has no one condemned you? And she said, no one has. And he says, neither do I. I'll go and don't commit this sin again. But I'll tell you what, let's take a break because we're already 18 minutes into the show. Let's take a break. We'll come back and then I'll share with you what actually the Holy Father has said about this forgiveness, or forgiving women who have had abortion, or anybody who's participated in abortion. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Are you still wondering where to send your children to school? St. Stan's offers peace of mind as they have openings, and they're not going on strike. At this time, St. Stan's currently has $37,000 in scholarship funds to give to families in need, kindergarten through 8th grade, and $10,000 for preschool. School started August 25th. Don't wait any longer. And before the funds run out, come join the St. Stan's family. You have a home. We are still accepting applications for the fall 2015-2016 school year. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. For complete information and to download an application, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. Hurry. Financial assistance application deadline has been extended to Tuesday, September 8th. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Dance with me, I want to be a partner, can't you see?
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, One Church, Many Cultures, invites you to our fourth annual dinner dance on Friday, September 18th at the historic Willowbrook Ballroom, 8900 Archer Avenue in Willow Springs, Illinois. Dinner is served at 7 with dancing until midnight. Not only will there be dinner and dancing, there will also be various raffles, including an auction raffle, money raffle, and a silent raffle to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, with masses in English, Spanish, and Polish open 24 hours a day as the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy is truly one church, many cultures. To get your tickets, visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Click on the events calendar for all you need to know to join us for our fourth annual dinner dance at the Willowbrook Ballroom, 7 p.m. Friday, September 18th.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We were speaking about the Pope calls on all priests to absolve repentant, this is a key word, repentant,
yes,
procurers of abortion, those who have committed abortion or those who have participated in abortion. Repentant is a key word. And it says, in his letter, he says, this is just one part of the letter, he says, one of the serious problems of our time is clearly the changed relationship with respect to life. A widespread and insensitive mentality has led to the loss of the proper personal and social sensitivity to welcome new life. The tragedy of abortion is experienced by some with a superficial awareness, as if not realizing the extreme harm that such an act entails. So he doesn't hold anything back about the gravity of the sin.
Mm-hmm.
Many others, on the other hand, although experiencing this moment as a defeat, believe they have no other option. These are for those who have had abortions, who have participated in abortions, and they feel that they've just been defeated. It's a horrible feeling, by the way, to feel that there is no possibility for forgiveness, for mm-hmm. reconciliation, that you've... And I suspect there are many people out there who don't even come near the church because they feel they have that sense that, well, how could I possibly, you know, considering what I've done or where I've been. And it may not just be abortion. It could be a host of a whole multiplicity of mm-hmm. of sins. How often have I had people come and say, you know, basically I've committed all the sins in the book with the exception of murder, but then with the tongue, I'm certain that I've killed the soul of another, because many people have this awareness, and they feel that they're perhaps defeated, unworthy, that there's mm-hmm. no possibility for forgiveness.
Or you even hear people that have gone to confession and they've been absolved, they're repentant, and even after that, they still grapple, they can't forgive themselves,
right.
they struggle with it.
Which is really the work of the mm-hmm. devil, you know, in the sense mm-hmm. that the devil's the accuser. Mm-hmm. Remember, he's the accuser. And of course, you know, the Pope, in speaking to priests, he's said this so often, you know, it's that we must exercise the ministry of mercy,
mm-hmm.
and not extreme judgment or harshness, but the ministry of mercy, imitating Jesus, mm-hmm. imitating the life of Christ. Keeping this in mind, that there are people who feel defeated, or they haven't... for whatever reason, been able to approach, let's say, the crucified Jesus, mm-hmm. who from the cross says, Father, mm-hmm. forgive them. You know, they know not what they do. Or you think of Dismas hanging on the cross mm-hmm. next to Jesus, and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he says, this day you will be with me in paradise. So, in any case, the Holy Father goes on, he says, he's aware of the pressures that have led many to this decision. He says, I know that it is an existential and moral ordeal. I have met so many women who bear in their heart the scar of this agonizing and painful decision. And it's so true, you mm-hmm. know. And this is, I think, one of the, should I call it the privilege of the priesthood? I think it is a privilege insofar as people can bear their souls.
Mm-hmm.
And tell their stories, too. Mm-hmm. Tell the story.
Yeah.
It doesn't in any way, from a purely objective point of view, you know, you've got the the gravity of the sin. But then when you listen to a person's story, there's no justification. But it's okay. Let's put this within the context of what is happening or what has happened in your life. And everybody has their own story. But again, you detect within the soul, within the heart, a sincerity of repentance and sorrow, and a reaching out for mercy. You know, I want to be lifted up. I want to be set free. I want to come out of this darkness. And the church has a mandate by the Lord Himself to bring people out of that darkness, not to leave them in the darkness. You see, when the priest forgives the sin, it's Christ who's forgiving. You know, Christ is acting in and through the priest, which is something a lot of people don't understand. But this is a great gift to the church, and to the church, I say, to the people of God, because we talk about this, but you alluded to this already, Christian. But the conscience really wears down on us, and we are in a spiritual battle. So the devil, I when people come to me and they cannot forgive, they can't forgive themselves. No matter what, you know, you've got to counsel them to understand first and foremost that how would you come in gratitude and thanksgiving, put yourself at the foot of the cross and don't deny Christ this gift that He wants to give you. Mm-hmm. You know, He died for this purpose, right? Yeah. He was crucified and died for this purpose, and that's the extent of God's love to say, you know, I don't want you bound. I don't want you enslaved, and I don't want you. I want you to come out of the tomb, away from that darkness. I want you to come into the light. I don't want that you're deprived of this peace that I want to bring.
And you're so right, Father. When the devil, that's his tactic. He'll put that fear in you.
Sure.
How is God ever? God's not going to forgive you.
Look at
you. Terrible. You're done. That's it. Don't even try it.
Scripture calls him the accuser. He is the accuser. God is not accusing. God is God is providing us a means to liberation, to freedom, to light, to peace, and to joy, to a joy. So what has happened is, he says, is profoundly unjust, yet only understanding the truth of it can enable one not to lose hope. The forgiveness of God cannot be denied to one who has repented, especially when that person approaches the sacrament of confession with a sincere heart in order to obtain reconciliation with the Father. For this reason, too, I have decided, the Pope says, notwithstanding anything to the contrary, to concede to all priests for the Jubilee year the discretion to absolve the sin of abortion to those who have procured it and who, with contrite heart, seek forgiveness for it. May priests fulfill this great task by expressing words of genuine welcome combined with a reflection that explains the gravity of the sin committed, besides indicating a path of authentic conversion by which to obtain the true and generous forgiveness of the Father who renews all with his presence. So it's now the media take on that, or I even was reading some of the commentary, you know, people comment on these things, and it was like, wow, you know, how can the church, you know, it's God who, of course it's God who forgives. Mm-hmm. Jesus, in the gospel, what did the Lord say, you know, after the resurrection, before he returned to the Father, what was the mandate that he gave the apostles? He says, go, he says, preach repentance of sin, right? That people should repent from their sin. He says, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he said, and forgive sins. And he says, what sins you forgive, they're forgiven. What sins are retained. In other words, if there isn't contriteness, if there isn't repentance, if there isn't a sincere desire to change one's ways, then absolution isn't given. It's not going to be offered. Now, you know, one of the things that I hear from people all the time is, and it's our own experience as well, is we go to confession, it seems like we're confessing the same sins over and over and over and over again.
Right.
You know, well, it's, you know, but so it is, you know, as the Pope even said, not in the letter, but he, as he said, you know, we tire of confessing our sins, but God never tires of giving us absolution or forgiving the sins. When we're talking about abortion, we're talking about something very, very grave. If there's a, you know, it's, anyway, it's, but again, it does, if a person has had, you know, X number of abortions and they've had a conversion of the heart, repent of their sin, a reawakening, a discovery of, because this is the other thing today too, even though the law of God is written to our hearts, so deep, deep down in the recesses of the soul, we know, and this is wrong and many things are wrong. And perhaps it's because deep, deep down we know that we want that our conscience be appeased. So if I can change the church, if the church can give me the green light and say this is okay, we're not just talking about abortion, but anything, especially in the area of sexuality and all that, because those are hot button issues, right? So if the church can, I think this is one of the real difficulties with the whole same sex marriage thing and all that is, or just the whole. Yes, by the way, I was thinking about this as well. We seem to be fixated on that because the activists in the gay lesbian community keep us focused on that because they keep bringing it before us, and we have to respond. But everybody, the whole of the church, is called to nurture a proper chastity within life. You know, again, as we say so often, quoting the St. Paul, not to give the free rein of the flesh. And in a society like ours, this is a very difficult difficult problem because you've got a society that is saturated, is constantly fixated on the flesh, and it's everywhere you turn, everywhere you go, the way people dress, or what you see on the TV, what you see in the movies, what you see in the books, the you know, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when the society has lost its sensitivity to these things, then it it only adds to the problem, you know, to overcome bad habits or to overcome to have a pure heart, a pure mind. It really, prayer and fasting and, you know, going to Mass, going to confession, these are this is very necessary. But it's a strange world we live in. I think about that so often. You know, how different. I was speaking to somebody. Was it today or yesterday? It must have been yesterday, about the how different. We've talked about it often on the radio, but how different the world is, you know, today as opposed to when I was growing up, where you, you know, there was a certain way you, there was a proper way to dress, there was certain things, certain ways you would not dress. You wouldn't dress a certain way when you go to church. Certainly, you know, in church you had to have, you wore your best clothes. You had a, you know, it, but anywhere there was just a There was societal norms that were based on, come out of a Judeo-Christian worldview, a biblical worldview. Well, that's all, for the most part, that's gone, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
It's gone, and so we create a very difficult situation. But anyway, so this is what the Pope is trying to impress upon people is. Because at the root of all this is not a saying it's okay, but on the contrary, we're saying it's not okay. But you know, making you aware, making with mercy, with understanding. Okay, so these have been difficult situations. You've gone through a difficult, but this is what is right. This is what is proper. This is what is just. This is what will enhance your own identity as created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore a life that is to be cherished and to be and is precious and needs to contribute to the well-being of others' lives as well, right? And so it's but okay, so we've fallen in a bad way, but there's a way out. There's a way out of this darkness. I remember I quote this this so often on the radio, but God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. To save, that means we have to be saved from something, right? Mm-hmm. Save me from myself. Mm-hmm. Save me from the seductions or the allurement of the devil, or the disordered use of my passions or whatever it might be, or the mm-hmm. save me from the allurement of the pop culture, whatever it might be. But save, you know, what do we need to be saved from? And as the scripture says, the light, God's light, came into the darkness. Because if we're not in God, we're in darkness. But it's a darkness we don't even perceive, because, of course, the devil appears in, he comes to us in light, a false light, right? Mm-hmm. And so the light came into the darkness, but people rather chose the darkness. Yeah. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. So the Pope, and this is a jubilee year, so it's a year when he wants to open mm-hmm. the door, as he says in the opening of his letter. Let me just, he says, let's see if I can find it here. He says, you know, with the approach of the extraordinary jubilee of mercy, I would like to focus on several points. Okay, so which I believe will require attention to enable the celebration of the Holy Year to be for all believers a true moment of encounter with the mercy of God. Encounter with the mercy of God. It is indeed my wish that the Jubilee be a living experience of the closeness of the Father, whose tenderness is almost tangible, so that the faith of every believer may be strengthened and thus testimony to be ever more effective. So he's calling us to authenticity in witness, in witness. If we've been forgiven, the woman caught in the sin of adultery. Now remember, again, those men were ready to throw the stones, throw a stone her to death. And Jesus says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And beginning with the elders, the more wise ones, they walk away mm-hmm. until finally everyone is gone. And then he just looked at the woman, and he says, "Woman, has anyone condemned you?" And she said, "No, sir, no one has." And he says, "And neither do I. But go now." And again, he says, "Do not commit this sin again." But this was the encounter, you see. This is mm-hmm. an encounter she had with Jesus. This is really going to get into that story. So it's not just the words that he spoke, but it's who he is, who he was, his eyes, the tone of his voice, the experience of his heart, right? The experience of his heart that set the woman free, that set her free. The same thing happened with the woman at the well, right? Mm-hmm. In the gospel, the Samaritan woman who Jesus, this is a beautiful story. There's so much in that story, but Jesus wanted water and she came for the water. He was mm-hmm. at the well. He had sent the apostles away, you know, to buy food or something. I forgot. And the woman came to fetch her water. And Jesus said, "You fetch this water, but I give you a water. You drink this water, you have life everlasting." Anyway, there's a whole dialogue that goes on there. She wants this water, and Jesus said, "Go back and tell your husband mm-hmm. what you've heard, what you've seen." And she says, "Well, I have no husband." And he says, "No, I know, you've had five." And he said, "The one you're living with, he's not your husband." So,
whoa.
And exactly. But she went back, and she said, "You got to come and see. I've mm-hmm. seen the Messiah. Is this not the Messiah?" And everybody came, you know. So there was this moment of conversion for her as well. In essence, Jesus is saying, you know, you're searching in the wrong place mm-hmm. For love, you know, mm-hmm. and he's offering his life. You know, be espoused to me. You know, we're talking about the mystical, spiritual realm, but anyway. All right, we're going to take another break here. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Dance with me. I want to be a partner. Can't you see?
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, one church, many cultures, invites you to our fourth annual dinner dance on Friday, September 18th at the historic Willowbrook Ballroom, 8900 Archer Avenue in Willow Springs, Illinois. Dinner is served at 7 with dancing until midnight. Not only will there be dinner and dancing, there will also be various raffles, including an auction raffle, money raffle, and a silent raffle to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, with masses in English, Spanish, and Polish open 24 hours a day as the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy is truly one church, many cultures. To get your tickets, visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Click on the events calendar for all you need to know to join us for our fourth annual dinner dance at the Willowbrook Ballroom, 7 p.m. Friday, September 18th. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Are you still wondering where to send your children to school? St. Stan's offers peace of mind as they have openings, and they're not going on strike. At this time, St. Stan's currently has $37,000 in scholarship funds to give to families in need, kindergarten through 8th grade, and $10,000 for preschool. School started August 25th. Don't wait any longer. And before the funds run out, come join the St. Stan's family. You have a home. We are still accepting applications for the fall 2015-2016 school year. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. For complete information and to download an application, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. Hurry. Financial assistance application deadline has been extended to Tuesday, September 8th.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So the Mercy Year, which is coming up, the Pope has, this has been a big news item. I don't know if you've caught this, but it's been a big news item. Associated Press had it, a few other news sites. I saw it, secular, or not religious news site, news sites. And so it's like, wow, this is, but it's not really out of the, this is what the church does. Mm-hmm. Yes. The church is in the business of reconciliation, yes, mercy. It's strange how people have these notions of, again, as I was reading the commentaries, people says, well, how can the church do that? Well, you know, that's, you know, God forgives. How can the Pope just, well, it's, the Lord has chosen this way for us to be assured of forgiveness. If we're repentant, again,
if we're repentant,
the Lord knows what's in our hearts. So even if somebody can try to pull the wool over the eyes of a priest, you know, God reads the soul.
But wasn't that the readings of a couple of Sundays ago? Not by the lips, but what's in the heart.
Exactly. Something that I think it was this past Sunday.
Was it this past Sunday?
This past Sunday, okay. Yeah. Yeah. We mentioned yesterday the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee, you know, on the surface, it seemed like he was doing all the right things, but the Lord knew his heart.
Mm-hmm.
His heart was not in the right place. But how beautiful that the church has given us a confession.
Oh, yes.
An opportunity. Mm-hmm. We all know that. Any of us who have experienced reconciliation, we can give witness to the... can you imagine if you didn't have access to the confessional?
I wouldn't want to think about that.
You wouldn't, I don't know if I've mentioned this before on the radio, but I did, when I was in college, before I went to the seminary, I was in Florida, and I was assigned, we were assigned different topics to, we had to give an exhortation or give a speech about a given topic, and I was given the topic of suicide. Now, this was in 1974, perhaps. So my topic was suicide. And in my studies, and you have to, you know, prepare a presentation. In my studies, what I found was at that time, now today it might be different because at that time there was still common practice among Catholics. There was still what we would call cultural Catholicism, where you basically were raised in and lived in Catholic enclaves, so to speak, you know. And there was a way we did things, and people went to Mass, and many went to Catholic schools, and you went to confession once a month or once every 3 months or whatever. And this was, remember in those days, the confession lines were long lines every week. But one of the things that I found in my studies about suicide is that Catholics had the least amount of suicide, and it was attributed to the confessional, that they had a means by which they could unburden themselves of the stuff that was going on in their lives, and so they didn't resort to suicide. That's very interesting.
It's healing when you go
it's
in
a
there.
It's a healing sacrament.
Yes, it is.
So if we need to talk about that. I've said often that they should bring the cameras, the news networks and all that should bring cameras outside the confessional. Talk to somebody who's been to confession.
Yes.
You know, this is what should identify the church. The Pope in speaking about this Jubilee year, he calls the entire church to the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy, right? That this is what should, it's a few things that should characterize our lives as Christians. Certainly our belief, you know, the creed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It should be, in fact, the great big fat catechism of the Catholic Church, it was reissued or revised for the first time since the Council of Trent in 1996, I believe it was, is a beautiful, beautiful catechism. It's broken off into four parts. Let me just see right offhand if I can remember. So the creed, what we believe, it's the first part, the creed. The second part would be perhaps the commandments of God, the moral fiber of the church, the Ten Commandments. Again, the summation of the ten is the two great commandments. The third section would be the sacraments. It might be creed, sacrament, commandments. I think it goes in perhaps that order. You get the creed, then the sacraments of the church was the mystical life of the church. And within that would be what? Our baptism, reception into the mystical body of Christ, Holy Eucharist, baptism is the door that opens us to the to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, confirmation, which is an opening of our lives to the inner working of God's Spirit, and reconciliation, because we are sinners, the possibility for reconciliation with God and with the church, because it is a dual reconciliation, right? We're being reconciled with God and with the church. Again, Jesus says you can't separate the head from the body. I am the head, the church is the body. He's a spouse to the church. Two have become one. And then finally, a beautiful, beautiful section. The last section is a section on prayer, beginning with the Our Father. And it just extrapolates from the whole history, the richness of the church, the history of the church, from the saints and all that. This is very beautiful. If you just take the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7, you've got the blueprint of what it is. How to be a Christian, what we should do. We strive to be, to live the Beatitudes, and that's what brings us joy, happiness, which brings us really beyond the observance or the fulfillment of the commandments of God. But also then from this comes the corporal, the spiritual works of mercy. The corporal have to do with the body, right, that we feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, we clothe the naked, we shelter the homeless, must visit the sick, ransom the captive, and bury the dead. Those are the corporal, because it deals with the person, the bodily person. And these are just, you can expound on that, because, you know, how is this being lived in one's own home, one's own life, among one's own people? And then, of course, the spiritual works of mercy, to instruct the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, to admonish the sinners, to bear wrong patiently, to forgive offenses in a willing way, to comfort the afflicted, to pray for the living and the dead. You know, it's interesting how the dead comes into this. And that's the other thing in the letter the Pope calls us to these works of mercy, corporal and spiritual works of mercy, for the living as well as for the dead. Mm-hmm. You know, so very interesting. So that's coming up. The Jubilee year begins December the 7th, or December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and will last from December 8th to the Feast of the Christ the King in November the following of the same year. But the following year. Following year. So anyway, so any comments on that? We'll take a break, and we'll take a final break here. Why don't we do that? And then if you guys have anything to say, I'll let you wrap up the hour. I'm out of energy already. Yeah. The heat. It's just exhausting.
The heat is on.
The heat is on. All right, everybody. We'll be right back to wrap up. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change at AM 750 WNDZ.
Are you still wondering where to send your children to school? St. Stan's offers peace of mind as they have openings, and they're not going on strike. At this time, St. Stan's currently has $37,000 in scholarship funds to give to families in need, kindergarten through eighth grade, and $10,000 for preschool. School started August 25th. Don't wait any longer. And before the funds run out, come join the St. Stan's family. You have a home. We are still accepting applications for the fall 2015-2016 school year. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. For complete information and to download an application, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. Hurry. Financial assistance application deadline has been extended to Tuesday, September 8th. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Dance with me. I want to be a partner. Can't you see?
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church. One church, many cultures, invites you to our fourth annual dinner dance on Friday, September 18th at the historic Willowbrook Ballroom, 8900 Archer Avenue in Willow Springs, Illinois. Dinner is served at 7, with dancing until midnight. Not only will there be dinner and dancing, there will also be various raffles, including an auction raffle, money raffle, and a silent raffle to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, with masses in English, Spanish, and Polish open 24 hours a day, as the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy is truly one church, many cultures. To get your tickets, visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Click on the events calendar for all you need to know to join us for our fourth annual dinner dance at the Willowbrook Ballroom, 7 p.m. Friday, September 18th.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up today. Do you have any comments from the three of you?
There's always so much to learn. Yeah. This is what I love when you go into things like this. And it goes step by step. This, what we will hear on the news is going to be contrary to what is the truth.
Always.
It's so easy to make that happen.
It's so commonsensical, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, when you think about the life of the church, and this is it seems to me this is what's so hard today, because we live in a permissive society, mm-hmm. right? Everything is permitted. Most everything is permitted. Mm-hmm.
Throwaway society.
The Pope calls it a throwaway mm-hmm. society. We can talk about relativism. You know, there's no truth. It's your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. Whatever you want to believe. You know, the isms, right? The hedonism, individualism, hyper-individualism, hyper-hedonism, hyper-relativism.
Narcissism.
We're breeding narcissism. Mm-hmm. All these things. And yet, when it comes to the life of the church, you know, any deviation, it becomes we become hypersensitive mm-hmm. to any deviation on the life of the church. And why is this? When I say hypersensitive, I don't mean hypersensitive in the sense that, what am I trying to say? The sin, and when I say the church, we have to always remember the church isn't just the Pope or the bishops or the priests or the sisters. Mm-hmm. The church is the whole body of Christ, all the baptized. Mm-hmm. And so if we speak about a crisis or scandal in the priesthood or in the episcopacy among the bishops. And again, we don't want to exaggerate that, blow that out of proportion, because yes, there's Jesus said you're going to have scant. It's always going to be there, because we hold the treasure in earthen vessels. Woe to those who cause scandal, because there's varying degrees, right? And we're all sinners. The just man sins seven times a day. When Peter said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? Jesus says, no, Peter, not seven, but 70 times seven. So we don't want to, the point being, I suppose, is that, you know, what's kept before us so often in the society is grave deviations, scandals, because they do. It hurts the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. It discredits it. It impedes the full riches of Christ, the full richness of Christ.
And we tend to focus on the negative and forget about all the good stuff that's what the church does, all the goodness for the well-being of the society, and focus on the negative all the time.
Exactly, but at the same time, you know, when it comes to society, the media, and the church. It's okay. Wow, this is. Let's put this out there, because this is. It's almost like the church is, because the church is the conscience of the people. Mm-hmm. The church is a thorn in the side, because the church calls us beyond ourselves. It calls us to perfection, right? Mm-hmm. To perfection, knowing, of course, that we're not. Where's the church's perfection? It's in God.
Yes.
It's in heaven. It's in the Blessed Virgin, mm-hmm. in the saints that have already passed from this life into the next. And the church's perfection the church's holiness, let me just say, is in the sacraments and in the commandments and the Word of God. This is here we find the church's holiness. Now we, each and every one of us, has an obligation and responsibility to delve into, to seek to we have to humbly be disposed and allow God to take possession of our lives, so that he can begin to work the soul and to begin to purify and to transform. And that's, but we nonetheless were, as I say so often, we're fumbling, we're stumbling, we're mumbling, I like the, in the Spanish, gateando, you know,
we're crawling,
kind of crawling through
like
life.
Like the babies that crawl.
Yeah. But that we have this sensitivity, we have this sensitivity, and thank God for even for grave sinners. This brings us, I guess, back to the point of abortion and so many other sins. But grave sin, you're not lost.
Mm-mm.
No one's lost. God desires the return of the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter. And God knows what we don't know. God can read the heart and the mind, the soul, the body. He knows what we're about. He knows who we are. And he's begging us, really, you know, come back. The door is open. The door's always got to be open, right? As long as we're this side of death, there's the possibility for reconciliation, for forgiveness. The Lord wants to envelop us in his mercy, and that's the church's mission, to see to it that that happens. All right, everybody, we're out of time. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.